Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, welcome to Faith for Families. Get a pencil and a piece of paper. Got 24 things you're going to want to write down. We're going to start today. 24 childlike traits of greatness. Greatness. You know, greatness is a great word. You ever had something or seen something or somebody gave you something and you said, man, that's great. You know, you ever said something, well, that's good. You ever notice you can't say that's good in a big way. Well, that's good. It's like, no, that's great. That's great. Nobody says, well, that's great. No, it's great. Great's a great thing. God's a great God. You read in Romans, it talks about great grace, great fear, great miracles, great signs, great wonders. It's a great God. And so what God wants, if God's great, you know, well, we believe God's great, then the people of God ought to be great. We ought to attempt to do great things, have great things, be great things. You know, great is an awesome word. There's a very popular book on business that's been written in the last few years, and it's comparing good companies with great companies. It said, you know why we don't have any great companies is because we have a lot of good companies. You know why we don't have any great families? Because we have a lot of good families. You know why we don't have any great government? We have a lot of good government. Good is the enemy of great. Good's where you just settle in and you sort of rock along. But God said, I'm looking for somebody to show myself strong, and God was looking for greatness. And he loved it when his people wanted to achieve greatness and attempt greatness. See, what the devil does the minute we're born, he begins to tell us what we can't do. You ever notice as a kid how many people tell you what you can't do? You can't do that. You can't go there. You sit down. You can't eat there. You can't. You ever notice what? How many? You can't drive. You're not tall enough. You can't go. You're not big enough. You can't do that. You're not old enough. You're not smart enough. And you're told all your life until finally about 18, 19, when you're about ready to leave the house. Who wants to attempt anything? People spent their whole life telling you what you can't do. And so I believe what happens, the devil comes, and I call them the cheerleaders from hell. Sometimes your own family members begin to talk to you. Well, you can't do that. Where do you think you're going? What do you think you're doing? Well, I'm going to do this. You can't do that. Who do you think you are? I'm a child of God. All things are possible to him that believes. I like to dream and think big. Let's do some great things. Well, now Jesus was talking to his disciples one day, and he gave a great illustration about the difference between being good and being great. And Jesus really leaned on the side of greatness. Look at this. I'm going to read something to you out of Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Jesus talking to the disciples. And it says this, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Others say you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said to them, but whom do you say that I am? And then Simon Peter answered, and he said, well, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. You're the man. You're the one we've been waiting on. You're the one that everybody's been prophesying about. And Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock of revelation, that you know this, upon this rock of revelation I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged the disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now here's what Jesus has done. He's asking for feedback. You know, every business, every organization likes feedback. What are people saying about us? What do they think about us? How are we doing? How do they perceive us? You know, business is needed. It's critical for marketing. But Jesus is doing the same thing, the Son of God. He said, gentlemen, what are they saying about us out there? I mean, we've been doing a real good job and it's preaching the gospel and getting people saved and healed and delivered from the devil and feeding the hungry and raising the dead and walking on water. It's what are people saying about us? Who do they say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they say, well, they're not sure, Jesus. Now, some think you're John the Baptist, raised from the dead. Some think that you're Elijah, raised from the dead. Some think you're Jeremiah, raised from the dead. Did you notice that? Whoever they thought he was, they thought, you're not from here. You're not one of us. You're not like us. You must be somebody who's come back from the dead. Isn't that amazing? What a correlation, because that's exactly what Jesus is going to do. He's going to die and come back from the dead. He's going to rise again. So they don't know Jesus. And what I'm telling you, the Bible says Jesus went about teaching, preaching, and healing. Now look at this. Here he says, some think you're John the Baptist, the preaching prophet. Some think you're Elijah, the healing or the miracle prophet. Some think you're Jeremiah, the teaching prophet. You're preaching like John the Baptist. You're teaching like Jeremiah. You're healing like the great prophet Elijah. In other words, they saw all three facets of Jesus. Said, man, I don't know. They don't know who you are. They're kind of schizo. But Jesus said, but whom do men say? Now watch this. He said, whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am? You ever got those Christmas cards with all the titles of Jesus on them? Lily of the Valley, Bright Morning Star, Emmanuel, all that stuff. Well, somewhere in there, you know, it'll talk about Son of God, Son of Man. Jesus used the title Son of Man about himself more than any other title. I mean, if you'll read every time Jesus cast the devil out of somebody, not one time did the devil ever give him that title. The devil called him Son of God, Son of the Most High. Jesus of Nazareth called him all sorts of names, but not one time did the devil call him Son of Man. Yet Jesus called himself that all the time. You know why? Because that's his legal right to be here on this planet. God here as a man. He is here legally on this planet. He said, whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am? You know why the devil never gives you your due? You know the devil doesn't like honor. The devil hates to give honor. God loves to give honor. The devil hates to give honor. The devil never gives you a due. That's why Jesus said, whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter just jumped right in and said, well, they say you're the son of God. You're the one. He said, you know something, Peter? Flesh couldn't have figured that out. A human by himself could not have figured that out. The only way you could possibly know that is by revelation from my Father. He said, and upon that kind of revelation, the fact that you know that, then you know who I am and why I'm here. I'm here to get back everything that Adam lost. I'm here to redeem mankind, which means the devil will never ever be able to steal from you again. Now that you know that I am legally here to get back everything the devil stole from you and hand it back to you, since you have that revelation, the gates of hell, you know what a gate is? That's something somebody hides behind. That's where the devil goes and steals your stuff, takes it into his place and hides behind that gate. He said, now that you know who I am and why I'm here and what I've come to do, those gates will never prevail against you. You'll be able to bust right into what the devil stole and get back what the devil stole from you. The gates of hell will not prevail against you. And since you know that, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You can get the key and go right into the kingdom of heaven, open the door, and reach into heaven and get anything you need. You now have, since you have this revelation, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, loosed on earth. And I mean, the boys are listening to this, and they don't fully understand it, but they grasp enough of it to realize something. Man, did you get that? I mean, Peter, James, those boys are talking to each other. It would be like this, trying to make it as natural as I can. It would be like a big company came to your city. You know, brand new company comes to your city. And they build this huge plant, this massive plant, going to hire 8,000 people. Brand new jobs, never been there. Minimum paying jobs going to start off at $80,000 a year. 4 weeks paid vacation, full retirement benefits, insurance, everything, health, dental, you name it. I mean, got you covered. I mean, nice paid vacation, everything. That's the minimum starting job. You know, people are driving from all over America coming out to get a job. There's a whole new corporation going up, and you're going to get an opportunity to get it on the ground floor. I'm trying to give you an idea of what these boys felt at that moment. They've been waiting for the Messiah. They've been waiting for this new corporation, this new kingdom. Jesus said, I'm about to build a whole new corporation. There's never been a kingdom like the one I'm about to build. It is the ultimate kingdom of all kingdoms. And gentlemen, I'm giving all of you keys to the executive washroom. I'm going to give you your own parking place. You're going to get an office next to mine. You're in on the ground floor, something that's never existed before. You're in on the ground floor. Well, they got wound up. And they got the buzz of the one. Man, did you hear this? We're part of something that's never been before. We're in on the ground floor. And they begin to talk among themselves, and then they begin to argue. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 18. I'll show what happened. They got real carnal real quick. Matthew chapter 18. Here's what began to happen. They thought, you know, I'm real glad we're part of this new corporation. I'm glad we've got keys to the executive washroom. We've got a place to park our own camel. We're in on the ground floor. You know, I know Jesus has got the cornerstone. He's going to have the corner office on the top floor with the best view. But who gets the office next to Jesus' office? And that's what they begin to ask. Who gets the office next to the office Jesus has got? And look what it says. Matthew chapter 18. You know, this is a few verses later. And they're starting to argue among themselves. Because listen to me. Even we're glad we're part of the hierarchy. We're glad we're part of the, you know, elite force. But even among the hierarchy, there's a hierarchy. Even though we're among the big boys, there's a big boy among the big boys. And so they begin, who gets to be the biggest in this corporation? And look what it says. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. The same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who's the greatest in this kingdom? I'm glad we're part of this new kingdom. I'm glad we're in on the ground floor, but how do you get to be a big dog in this kingdom? How do you get to be great in this kingdom, Jesus? I mean, we're glad we're part of it. Don't take this wrong. We're glad we're in this thing. But how do you get to be great in this thing? How can we be a big dog in this new corporation? Now look at this. It says, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, set him in the midst of him, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And you know what he's just told him? He says, I'm glad that you want to be great, because I'm great. I am the King of kings and the Lord of lords. There is none greater than me. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, I am the Lord of all lords for all of eternity. And I'm glad that because you're part of me now. I'm in you, you're in me, we've been made ones. You're no longer my servants, I call you my friends, because everything the Father's told me, I've told you. Everything he's shown me, I've shown you. He said, I'm glad you want to be great. You know, you would think Jesus would have got upset. Here's Jesus trying to save the world. I mean, man, he's combating demons from hell, raising the dead, casting out devils. And all of a sudden, among his staff, they start to argue about who's going to get the corner office and the new executive chair to sit in and the new desk and the new parking place for their camel. And I said, Jesus, and he hears the argument. He said, who's the greatest? You think, Jeff, what did you say? I mean, can you imagine? I just try to imagine what Jesus would say, like most CEOs. He said, what do you guys, what did you just say? He said, well, Jesus, we want to know who gets the office next to yours. I imagine Jesus getting upset. Man, here I am trying to save the world, cast out devils. Nobody believes I'm who I am. They're trying to throw rocks at me, shove me off a cliff. And you're arguing over who gets the corner office next to mine? You're fired. I can't believe you're so carnal. You're fired. But you know, that's not what he said. You know what he said? He said, I'm glad you want the office next to mine. I'm impressed. I like people who want to come next to me, who want to be like me. I'm impressed, boys. I'm impressed you want to be big in the kingdom. I'm impressed you want to be great. I'm thrilled, as a matter of fact. I'm not offended. I'm thrilled that you're looking for greatness, because I'm great. I'm looking for somebody to show myself strong and great in. I'm thrilled you want that. So I'm going to tell you how. I'm not going to get offended that you ask. I'm going to tell you how to be great. And he brings a little kid, and he sits a kid right down in the midst of him. He says, you want to know how to be great in my corporation? You want to be a big dog in this new organization? Here's how you do it. He brings a kid. He sits him on his lap and says, see this kid? You're going to have to become just like this kid. And that's what he told them. Now, you have to understand, in Jesus' day, women were nothing and children were next to nothing. Children, women were next to nothing. Children were nothing. They gave them no time. There's nothing for them. They put no value. And it's almost like he said, we got to do what, Jesus? You have to become like this kid. And the disciples begin to think, what's the kid doing? What do they know? They can't do nothing. Jesus, we've forsaken all. We've left our families, our homes, our jobs. We spend 4 or 5 hours a day in the Torah, studying the scriptures. We give alms. We pray. We fast. I mean, man, we're casting out devils, laying hands on the sick. We teach. We preach. I mean, the kid can't do that. The kid can't even read the Torah. They don't even read yet, Lord. They don't have a job. They can't give them the offering. They have absolutely no ministry skills. They don't preach. They don't teach. They don't heal. They just sit around and play and take up space, Lord. What's the kid know that we don't know? Because he knows Jesus is trying to tell him something. They can't figure out, what's the kid know that we don't know that makes him so great? And Jesus said, I'll tell you what it is. The kid knows he's not in charge. He said, you want to be great in my organization? First thing you better remember, you better humble yourself. And listen to me. Now watch this. Don't miss this. Jesus did not say to become childish. We are warned against being childish. He said become childlike. And there's a big difference. He said, you want to be great in my corporation, you better humble yourself like this child. What's this child know? He knows he's not in charge. Most adults don't understand that when they're part of an organization. How many people that are part of a business think they're in charge? Is your name on the building? Then you're not in charge. Jesus said, there's only one head. There's only one head to the body of Christ. I'm it. And if you want to stay big in my corporation, if you want to move up the ladder in my corporation, remember something, you're not in charge. You know, I've worked with kids for years, 20 years. You walk into a classroom, a gymnasium, a cafeteria, a playground where there's nothing but children playing, and ask this question. I've done it before. Walk into a gymnasium, a bunch of kids playing, throwing dodgeball. Hey, who's in charge in here? And they'll just stop and stare at you. You in charge? I mean, walking this kindergarten. What? You in charge, son? No, sir. Well, who's in charge? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? You look like you're in charge. You're not in charge? No, sir, teacher's in charge. Well, where's teacher at? I don't know. You sure? You look like you're in charge. You sure? No, sir. You know, I mean, just scare him. Say, like, I'm not in charge. Every kid knows something. Every kid knows somebody bigger than them, smarter than them, taller than them, is going to tell them what to do, what to wear, where to go, when to go to bed, when to get up. Every kid knows something. I'm not in charge of my life. I don't own a car. I can't drive myself. Every kid understands something. They are not in charge of their life. Jesus said, you want to be bigger than my corporation? You want to be great? The number one thing you better remember is you're not in charge.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.